Hey, Bougie Babes, it's your girl here, Erica Patrice from the Black Bougie Broads featuring Kev Podcast. Be sure to follow us on all forms of social media under Black Bougie Broads because I heard we have a few contests coming up and you don't want to miss it. Also, major shout out to our listeners in Prince George's County, Maryland, Charlotte, North Carolina, and the Netherlands. And of course, our babes in France. Y'all are holding it down. We see you, babes. Well, hello, hello. You are now listening to the Black Bougie Broads featuring Kev Podcast. How is everyone doing today?
Wonderful.
Awesome. Awesome.
Great. Look,
how you doing?
I'm here. Hello. Oh. You know, I'm blessed and highly favored. We're here. I'm tired, but we're here.
Long week.
You know, I was watching Alexis live her birthday life last night. You know, it's a hard life when you're 35.
Wait a minute. What did I miss?
Acting up.
We missed it, Kevin. We missed it.
I was not acting up. I don't even know what Erica's talking about.
I'm twerking for Alexis.
She's taking up things on her mind.
Well, she didn't do much. But anywho. So, today's episode should be really interesting. I'm really, really excited about it. We do have a guest. Look, we're minus two broads, but plus one guest, okay? So we have Mr. Kev.
What's up?
We got Miss Johnny's.
Hey, y'all.
And we got Sexy Lexi.
How y'all doing?
Who like to twerk on the weekends.
Oh! Only for her birthday, right, Lex?
That, look, and homecoming.
That's right,
look,
only for my birthday.
And homecoming, if we got the right mixturations going on. Okay, with that being said, we do have a guest, and this is exciting because he's one of our Aggie brethren. So this is really nice. Aggie Pride.
Aggie Pride.
Aggie yes. Pride.
So we have Mr. Job with us. He's become one of our most recent fans of the podcast, and he was like, look, whenever y'all ready, what's up? I said, okay, Job. So Job has a story. Like, he has his own brand. He has a story. It's really, really good. Like, he really has it going on from a standpoint of looking at someone being able to overcome and achieve and to continue to do their thing. So, Job, tell us about yourself. Tell us about your brand, and we'll just go from there.
Sure. Thank y'all, guys, ladies, for being here. I appreciate it. Was an alcoholic for 10 plus years, drinking heavy. And I always knew there was something about it. I wanted more out of my life. And I always had like bad relationships. And typically when a relationship ended, it was more so of you're drinking and just out of control. They didn't know it was that bad. And then having depression and suicidal. I just had a lot of unfortunate circumstances with my little cousin being kidnapped and murdered in college. Then a few years ago, my uncle was hit by a car. That was my drinking buddy. So I met a girl and she kind of stuck with me through it and was like, you got to get sober. And she was like, I just can't be with you because I feel so bad to see you go on that path. So I ended up going to a rehab center due to some DUIs. I had to go 7 days in jail, but I was able to go to a rehab that I really wanted to for 30 days in LA, California, and Reseda. When I got back, I kind of struggled with the whole concept of like AA meetings. The AA meetings out in LA was different. It was more so my vibe, my people, younger people, older people. But North Carolina, being a southern state, is a little different in that room. So I decided to start sharing my story on YouTube. And I shared the first video, got a lot of views. So then I just started, let me share stuff about my life, period, and my journey. And I finally got that credibility that I was looking for inside myself of making it for that 1 year. So it brings me here. Without that opportunity of putting forth on YouTube, I wouldn't be amongst you all talking about my story. So I'm very excited to be on here with you guys today.
Okay. Well, that's what's up. So what is the name of your brand? Is it just your name? And where can just people follow you?
Okay. Yeah. So you can follow me on Facebook, Job Leith, J-O-B, not Job, not Joseph. Not Moses, not Noah. It is Job, the oldest book in the Bible, the first book ever written. So you can find me on there, and you can find me on YouTube. It's just Job Leaf. It's called Job's Journey, but you type in Job Leaf, you can find me there. I got like 26 videos I've loaded so far, and I'm going to load one in about 2 weeks.
That's dope.
That's really
good. Yes,
congrats.
Okay, and Johnny's, I don't know what, some your Wi-Fi just did something real tricky, but it's okay.
It's all right. You back, though.
Okay. You bike. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, I know Johnny's had a question about your brand, because we're just going to stick with your brand for this minute. So Johnny's, what was it that you wanted to ask in regards to his video?
I, did some research just watching a couple of your videos, and I really enjoyed watching your videos.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed the fact that you were honest and open. You really don't find people that are, honest and open as you were on those videos. So I just had a question about maybe like two videos.
Okay.
The first video I had a question about is the 6 months. You went 6 months without dating. I just wanted to follow up. Like, how did that go? What did you learn? How was that journey?
Well, I kind of, if in the Christian world, backslide a couple times in that 6 months. I kind of wanted to see.
Did you rub on something, Joe?
Yeah,
I did. Is that what you did? Okay, got it.
Being that I'm a Christian, it's hard to not fornicate. You know what I mean? A lot of people don't like to talk about it in church, because when you talk about it in church, it's some repercussions behind that. They can sit you down if you're in a choir, or it can make you feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I do not promote fornication, and I don't feel like it's the right thing to do if you live in a Christian lifestyle, but I have a child, so I can't be a hypocrite and say, hey, you know, shouldn't be doing that, but it's a struggle for me. But I didn't get back into that relationship for fornication. It was more so I needed kind of like that person, but we did make it a commitment and end up not working out in the first place. But I still stayed kind of not dating anyone for that 6 months. I found out a lot about myself. My next video is actually going to be about, am I ready to date again? And what does that look like being sober? But it was a lot of lonely nights. It was a lot of nights I wake up and I'm just teary-eyed because I miss company. It's not just like one girl. It's like I feed off the energy of females more so than males with the conversation. I like to have in-depth conversations. So I did well, but I did backslide, if you want to call it a backslide.
Okay,
but,
and we will definitely dive deeper into that, yeah, Joe. We can. Okay, well, go ahead.
I was going to say, Joe, that's happened to me before. Like when me and my husband went to our premarital counseling, our pastor challenged us to, not to do the thing.
To abstain from sex.
Yes.
Before the wedding. That's what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And honestly, I can't remember if we did. I remember trying. I remember really trying hard. I think we did like the last maybe 2 months, maybe. But it was so long ago. But I just remember being really difficult to not.
Especially for how long y'all had been doing it anyway. Right. So.
So that's why that video related to me, Job. And so, thank you.
And the importance of it, that we both had the understanding going in that it wasn't a sex thing. Like, we both was in agreements that we wanted to wait until marriage, but that didn't happen at the beginning. You know, I mean, we waited for a while in course of me drinking. Then when I got sober, I had a new vision, lenses on, and she still had that same. I think that's important when both people agree to do something. Now, when you mess up in it, I feel like it's okay not to condemn yourself. Don't break yourself down and feel like you just made the biggest mistake in the world. I think repentance or forgiving yourself is saying, okay, let me try tomorrow and not worry about the later down the road. Let me just try to do this tomorrow for one day. If I succeed, then great. It's better than going 30 days and doing it every day, So give yourself a pat on your back that you at least tried as a unit, versus one person thinking one way and another person thinking another way. I think that's where the division comes in.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know what to say.
Why is that something that is important? Like, Why is it important not to have sex? And I want to hear from you, Job and Johnny. Like, why was that important?
Okay, good. I was hoping she would ask me, Kevin.
Because we don't know.
Ain't no point to ask me. I ain't doing it.
Yes, so. And that was the other thing, Kevin. I was like, look, we are just living a certain type of life because, oh my gosh.
I was going to say for us, we were going through that counseling with that minister. And, you know, and when you believe in certain things and you believe in the Lord, mm-hmm. and, you know, those are the values that you have. And he had us thinking about other things that were important to a marriage other than physical. So I think he wanted us to remove the physical and just work and just concentrate on the mental growth and the growth that we need to have during that time with counseling with him, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. And I think, you know, he just wanted us to make sure that it wasn't, you know, like a physical thing. Like, if you can get rid of that and worry about everything else, then you'll be good forever.
Right.
Yes. And that's usually how marital counseling is. I think they, right before you get married, they ask you to kind of abstain so you can have clarity going through that process. Right. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And for me, she make a good point. For me right now, I know it's important for me to see the red flags beforehand. Like when sex get involved, you know, if it's good or bad, you start depending on that to be the number one thing that drives a relationship. If you're angry, you're sad, or going through a long day, it's like, okay, we have sex, be good. Sunday, Saturday, weekends, let's do this. We feel less, whatever. But when you kind of sustain from it, you can see the red flags before I jump into it. You know, I can see that how long you may be a little bit too annoying to me, like always calling me, always texting me. You know what I mean? So how would that look like if we start having sex and it's going to be my time, it's going to be your time. And it's very important mm-hmm. that I pay attention to my time and those red flags. I could have missed a lot of bad relationships if I would have saw the red flags before sex got involved in the picture. But unfortunately, like I said, I'm not a saint at this. It happens, but it's important to see those red flags before sex get involved, in my opinion.
That's good. That's
okay, good. So you all actually hit on something that I think is really interesting, and I'm just going to have to park it right here. So when you say having no sex, you see the red flags. For those of you all who, like myself, have taken time away from sex, and then at one point it's like you're forced to not even do anything anyway because you're in a corona world, and you know, even before COVID, it was a hot mess. Like, I was like, oh my God. And then now it's just a hot tragedy. But with not having sex, what have you all seen? Like, if you went into a relationship and said, I'm not going to have sex with this person for at least 6 months, like, say 6 months.
6 months is really...
I mean, because sometimes people try to get you.
What are you trying to double John Clayton say?
No. Like, I mean, I have talked to people for a long time and been like, you know what?
I have girlfriends who haven't done it in years.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, they've encountered so many different men and so many different situations. It's like, if I keep putting myself out there like this, then, you know, it's not worth it. So... Mm-hmm.
I can understand that. I'm not the type of person that goes into a situation setting a time for, oh, it has to be 6 months. Oh, it has to be. To me, it just has to feel right. Not saying I'm going to do it tonight, but there has to be a natural progression to the relationship. And for me to sit and make a mental note or a physical note, write down on a piece of paper, okay, today is September 13th. I can't have sex anymore until, like, that just, it doesn't make sense to me. But I see the value of what
women.
I see the value of what, I definitely can see the value of what Joe was saying before, because I have been in relationships where I felt like that sex is almost used as a weapon. Like,
correct.
Like, I have been in a relationship where stuff has not been going right in the other areas, and your partner will start to do things like, you'll ask a question, and to avoid that question, they'll try to seduce you, like, or try to avoid the conversation. And I ain't falling for that. Like, I ask you a question, what is my answer? Like,
could this question be, what are we? Is that when the weaponry is used?
That could definitely be an example of a question, yeah. But it's anything that makes them uncomfortable, like anything to Janice's point, that is something that's a mental challenge to the relationship, mm-hmm. and they don't, if it's will make them uncomfortable or it seems like a difficult conversation, they will move to the sex. Like, as well, I'm a bang you, and that's gonna make you forget about it.
But you know, is he?
Alexa, and I would say that's what I learned during that time. Like, because I had been with Nick for so long, my husband for so long, I saw us doing different things that, you know, maybe that we wouldn't have thought of doing before if we weren't challenged by our pastor, you know. And it was fun. It was definitely a challenge. Like, if you were a competitive person, you know, you could definitely see it as being almost like a sport where you can get, you know, yeah, we lasted today, high five, you know. So
I mean, and y'all weren't, were y'all in the same state at that time too? Were y'all?
No, actually we were, but he was traveling for work.
Okay.
So yeah. So we just saw each other maybe like 3 or 4 times a week.
Okay. So Job and Lex, if y'all have, you know, okay. So I'm gonna just switch it up a little bit for y'all, right? Because I feel like I'm trying to go somewhere with this. See, my mind is moving so fast that I have to stop my mouth.
Slow it down.
I have to stop my mouth. In dating, do you all feel that if you, how has the success happened for you all if you just go with the flow versus if you try to keep in mind, I don't want to have sex with this person right now. I really want to know who they are and how they are and how they operate. Like, are there, do we have any success stories with waiting? For me, I can say, yes,
no.
You know, you have. I have an ex.
No,
we're
I'm not
cool.
talking about me. No,
you know, we're cool because we took that time to really get to know each other. But we just also know we cannot be together.
Is that a firm thing for you though? That time frame that you said. That's, I mean, because you started off that six months real quick.
Like,
said 6 months because I feel like it takes forever to get to know somebody.
Yeah,
but it's something about 6 months. People get comfortable around that time, like super comfortable. They start to show you who they are at that time. And that's when you really can negotiate with yourself if you can buy into that person.
Are you upfront with the gentleman, Erica, at front? Like, you tell them, like,
you tell them that
I have a 6 month rule, or
no, I don't ever really have to go into it.
Okay.
Yeah, like I never, between my schedule and
do they be lasting
dating,
to the 6 months?
The people that I give my time to, yes.
Okay.
They do.
The
last time it occurred, a situation happened from that, right? Like, something happened with them. And I was like, okay, it ain't gonna rock. Cool, you know? But once they had some time to themselves, they've been trying to come back.
Okay.
That's all I'm gonna say about that.
That was real shady.
It was not, but it was the
I'm
truth.
Still lost.
T-R-U-F-F, truth.
You said it caused a situation. Can you go
I mean,
a little bit deeper?
Because
like,
I will tell you the reason why you, I will say the reason why you want to try to wait, I personally would say you wait 6 months, is because you start to see what's really going on in that person.
I agree.
You know, because people would, they will try to, you know, they will try to come at you, act like they're the best thing popping. You give them some time, they're just gonna show you who they are. And so that's when you say, okay, I think I can go there with this person. And then you don't know what kind of crazy is gonna come out once you do it.
Right.
You know?
Then once those 6 months up, okay, so say for instance, you do, and this is for everybody, you give that person 6 months or whatever time period you wanna give them, and then you have sex with that person, and then they flip the switch.
And then let me tell you, don't.
Then what you do then? Then you be like, well, damn.
See, I'm trying not to go down these red.
Why did I, like, you could
have. So, Alexa, you just trying. Let's say you could have did it day one and figured that out. Day one instead of wasting 6 months.
That is what I was about to say.
Because people don't show, Joe, am I wrong? People don't show you absolute instability up front. they will hold that monster back.
Yeah, they. I like to say that they're showing you their representative. Their representative is the person that you meet. You don't really meet them.
Well, I want to play devil's advocate. What if they are mentally sound and you connect with them on that level during that 6 months, and then 6 months and one day into it, you decide to do it, and what if the sex is no good? So you didn't just waste 6 months of your time.
Yes, Kevin, yes.
And yes, y'all connect on a mental level.
I keep trying to throw the question to Joe, but you keep coming back.
Nah, it's all good. No, y'all gotta get this out.
No, go ahead, Joe. What's your answer to that? My good question.
Go ahead.
He said, well, you shouldn't be doing it anyway. So there
you go. So I guess that's the point, is like no sex before marriage, right? You got to figure out where you want your head to be at and what philosophy that you want to follow. I think that's the issue that we have right now with our age group. We have no philosophy, the right philosophy to go by, the right principles to go by. Mm-hmm. I'm not someone who's going to be reading the Bible every single day, but I follow certain principles that my mom stowed upon me as a child. So I know with my relationships in the past, like in college, I remember the first, I didn't lose my virginity until college, my freshman year.
Yeah.
And the girl said that her previous ex was bigger than me.
Excuse me?
She said her previous ex was bigger than me, right? So mentally, that messed me up, as that's the first time doing anything. So I always felt some type of way about it in my head when I got with a female. So if it was a female I would get with, the first thing I'm thinking about is sex.
How did she say it? Like,
I'm surprised you even could share that, because you know what? I know most men who would have gone ballistic on somebody for saying that to them. Like, that was just so rude.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I believe the fact that I had an issue, right? It ain't like we go around in high school and be like, hey, man, let me see yours and let's measure it up. I'm a Christian person. You know,
Have
you ever used the remote control to measure it?
So I just don't. I didn't understand what she was actually saying. So all I knew is that maybe an issue. So I further on got with another girl. She was like, she was crazy. She's just trying to control your mind and make you feel smaller than. She's like, there's nothing wrong with anything.
That's a form of weaponizing it too.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. So that sometimes you can use a truth as a weapon. So now all the relationships that I've been dealing with, I'm thinking there is an insecurity. So as soon as I meet this person, I'm thinking like, okay, when it gets to sex. So I would do anything I possibly can to please this person over once I get to that point. And if something go wrong, I'm blaming sex. And then the relationship go to a left field. And when I talk to them later down the road, they like, it was never about the sex. I never, not one time, complained about the sex. It was your mental side of depression and the suicidal thoughts and the drinking that was the issue. But my philosophy was totally wrong. So once I start changing my philosophy, like, what's better for me? Better for me is to more so try to live the best Christian life I possibly can and sustain for sex. When I miss that mark, I get it. I repent. I can move on. I don't continue to try to commit that sin that I feel. You know, right. Sex before marriage.
So that girl traumatized you in college, basically.
Like, she did.
That one situation played a big part in the rest of your life up to this point, I guess.
Correct. I would have to hide this secret from another girl, thinking I can't really say this to her because she may not like me, because it's mentally it messed me up. Right. Oh, but once I drinking got involved, any situation that I'm feeling bad or something going on in a relationship, my mind start to think of all these lies. And I just gave that as an example. And the reason I'm so truthful is because there's a lot of guys walking around here with some insecurities and they're not telling nobody. They can't tell their homeboy what another girl had said about them, because it may jeopardize, being picked on amongst their friends. They may not be able to go to a father or mother explain the situation. So I feel like if I share how I feel, no matter how it makes me look, then I'm helping the next person. The goal in life is to be a service. If I can share my story for you, can be like, well, that makes sense, and I can live that way, then that's better for you. It has nothing to do with me, because my experience helped me become the person I am now. without that experience, I wouldn't go back and take it back from what she said to me, because right. I'm able to deliver in a different message that it's a truth. It's not a, I'm making this story up or assumption. This is what happened to my life.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, I feel like that takes us down another road. I did have a line of questions, but I feel like y'all are just throwing me into different places and thoughts. In terms of, and thanks. Oh, thanks, Kev. You know,
Kevin is just trying to shake it up.
He is. He's trying to shake it up.
Shaking the table.
Well, Job, you know, on the brighter side, you are a slender build. Were any, look at him showing his muscles.
I see slender. Y'all think
flex for him a little bit.
Y'all think to try to take my clothes off. Y'all be like, oh, he is real
in flex for him a little bit.
Don't flex. Don't do that.
No. What I'm saying is, I'm about to help you out, Joe.
He says,
I'm too heavy and thick.
Slim wear.
He said he thick. Look, 9 times out of 10, Patrice will probably clip this piece and show Joe showing his muscles right now for all the ladies to be like, what was I even saying? Anyhow, yeah. So, Joe is. What you want to call yourself, Joe?
You can go ahead and say what you like. Slender, slim bill. You ain't seen me in a couple of years, so I guess.
Look, he is slender bill. But I'm only saying that because I represent the plus size community.
He said he's thick.
Joe said he's thick. 200 and thick.
200 and thick.
So we're going to have to take that with us, Job. So now me, Johnny's, and Alexis are going to be like, you know, we 200 and thick. Hello. They're going to be like, you what, girl? Like, you know you see it. I'm 200 and thick. So with that being said, because I want to make it cute for you, you know. I know we've been talking about some heavy stuff.
Well, no, speaking, like, of, heavy is the truth.
Speaking of heavy, it's okay. Go with it. So since you're on the slender bill, were any of these women who crushed how you viewed yourself, were they plus size women, especially in college?
I was just waiting for her to tee this.
Yeah,
she's asking that because she has been the one who has said that before. That's probably why.
Right. That is not why I'm asking that.
Uh-oh.
I'm taking a fun route.
It was you.
But I would never say that unless I was. No, even in my. That's the truth. I have never said that to a man. Like when I'm mad, come out of nowhere and be like, Patrice, and be like, you know,
but that's
you
why I asked
how she did that.
She didn't have to be mad to say that. She could have just. It might have just slipped out and she really didn't mean to say that.
I never use a gentleman's body parts.
There is an infamous situation.
She was being a savage.
Did stuff after that made me not even want to deal with her, period. You know what I mean? It wasn't like after she said it, she was like, let's break up or I'm moving on. She was down for me, like wanted to the whole nine marriage. I mean, we young, but it just.
That was a manipulative statement.
Exactly. Because she would do stuff to tell me to come over and then I couldn't go nowhere else for the rest of the day. It was like, why am I open? Like,
wow.
It was stuff like that. But I was not eating. I was freshman year.
So 18, 17,
I feel like hearing something like that would have made me weaponize it and just be like, the next time she wanted to do it, I'd be like, well, why don't you do it with somebody else? You said I'm small.
Because in my mind, you're saying that y'all stayed together for a while. Well, it must not have been.
Right.
Well, that's why I wanted to take a different route. Were any of your conquests.
Where's she going with this? I have dated plus size women.
Hold on, wait a minute, Joe. We didn't know that.
It don't matter to me, like as in color, size, height, short. I mean, if I rock with you, I rock with you. If I like you, I like you.
How tall are you, Joe?
I am 5'11 and 3/4".
Okay.
Okay, so he's the same height as me. You hear this thing?
It's one with
three quarters. Kevin said, you got to throw the 3/4 in. I'm going to start using that.
You know what I mean? I wear some New Balances. I'm at least 6'1 and a half.
That's a man's thing, that height. That's a man's thing.
Because
they need it.
Right.
Because of people like, mwah.
I mean, you dated, no, but you dated a short guy in college because he sat
beside me.
He was really small. And I believe, if I believe it to be true, it may have been that guy that your dad called him. Because he was a little
Yes, thank you.
People think I be making this up.
Hold on, wait a minute. Now, what I said is what I said. I don't talk about a man's body parts.
Man, he was about
I'm not going to talk about a man.
That's how sure he was.
Because
he
didn't go past my kneecap. Appendages. But me being a taller woman, and Johnny's has actually helped me out because she had a story like Matt. Yeah, one shorter gentleman. Now, shout out to the shorter gentleman. We like y'all. You tall enough for Alexis, but with that,
don't drag me into four foot eleven and three quarters, five feet with shoes on. Okay, don't drag me into this.
No, I just want to put you on. But anyhow, we can't. You know, when you are arching, like when you are encroaching upon
I'm not a stallion. That's you.
Yes.
Hard
it
to
is.
Date a gentleman, but Joe, would that be Joe said for real? For real,
hard.
I dated one, so I gave him a chance. So give me my credit. Me and Johnny at least did it. We did it.
Sad,
man did it.
Well,
man, we did
well
it.
Afterwards, you have made it clear that you're not gonna go that route no more, right?
No, man, it's because when you're tall, it'd be different if I was like tall and slim. And when I sit down, me and that short person can be the same height. But then I'm sitting down on a lot of what you call it, Job, 200 thickness. And then dang, I look like his mama. I can't do that.
That's true.
Mine is facial features. I can't date a girl with a strong facial features.
What you talking about? Jawline?
They can't be competing with you, is what he's saying.
Yeah, like jaw, like the cheekbone area. The jaw, like I just can't roll over and be like, you like my homeboy with a do-rag on. Okay. It bothers me. So I mean, that's just my thing. That's the only rule I have. Strong face.
You saying if she looked like a man, Joe?
I didn't say that. No, I said strong facial features. Now, however you want to take it from there, that's your own.
But wait a minute, philosophy. Now you got on me for calling the little man a frog. But you gonna sit up here and say you can't talk to a model-esque woman, because you know in the model community, when you got a real strong jawline and cheekbones, you are the bomb. So
yeah, the bomb. Yeah, I wouldn't say she ain't pretty. You know what I mean? She probably gorgeous as a mother, but it's just not what I like. You know what I mean?
Everybody got their preferences. Yeah. You right?
You don't really. That's his preferences. That's
man, you, the like. Girl, the girl yeah. other day, the girl in your last podcast said, "What he had to be a certain height, he had to have wavy hair and straight teeth." Now that eliminates like a whole lot of men.
But to her credit, she do be pulling them though.
But that's what she liked. Though.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So what you like is what you eat.
What you want is what you want.
So. I can't see it, but I have tears in my eyes. Joe,
when women say it's okay, but when men have a preference, you think that men kind
of
get a hard time about it.
Come on, Johnny.
Come on. You know what I mean? Oh, you've been too superficial. You've been, you know what I mean? Nah, man, you like what you like. If I don't fit your bill, then keep it moving. If you don't like me, then tell me you don't like where I look. I walk funny. Great. So we can just move on. You know what I mean? I could be your best friend.
You ain't even got to tell me, just be gone. Just look, if you don't like it, then why are you here? Like, I don't want to be with nobody who don't want to be
all
with
me.
All
I can hear is Patrice's voice when she said, why are you here?
I'm like, good gracious. Okay, Joe.
I think that's important. I think it's important for me to find out, like, I guess if after the 6 months, right? Now I'm trying to figure out, is it good for me to date right now? And what do I actually like? You know what I mean? Is it, do I need to reevaluate? I think that we should reevaluate the previous relationships that we was in.
Right.
I thought maybe like, okay, I always went for the baddest. I always wanted the baddest. When I walk in the room, I want the baddest on my arm. But the baddest ones was causing me a lot of problems. Now, I don't think I should lower my standards.
I've either heard a quote or seen a meme that said, behind every bad bitch is a nigga that's dealing with a whole bunch of her shit.
Is that you, so, Kevin?
You know, Patrice about to clip this scene right here.
Is that so, Kevin?
But you know,
I didn't say I agree. I've seen it though, and I laughed when I heard it.
But you know, and I guess that is really deep. You know, that's really deep because, you know.
What?
Go ahead and say what you want to say.
No, I think that is very, that is very telling. So when you say bad, what do you mean? Like, just very popular to the eye for the gentleman, or, you know, just got like a banging body? Like, what is that? I'm only acting stupid just to understand and clarify for our listeners.
Bad to me, right? When you walk in the room, like when I used to walk in the club, before I even get around the corner, it's a dude coming up trying to get that number, or like, let me get you something to drink. You know what I mean? It's just like, in any facet or any room, they bright up the room. You know what I mean? Now, when you say bad, you may be thinking physical standpoint. I'm saying the whole nine.
The whole package.
It's like, it ain't no question of her beauty. When you see her, it's like, dang, she gorgeous.
And women both would agree.
Correct. It ain't nothing. Period. It's like, right, the personality is on top. You know what I mean? So I was a drinker.
Indisputable.
So it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm a drinker, so I had to have that person on my side that can work the room. You can be pretty, but you ain't bad because you ain't working no room. You know? It's just like, that's how my standpoint.
So you got to have the looks, the charisma, the charm, all of that.
You know, everything. It's somebody riding in the car like, you know what? He described me, honey. I am big. But hey. I do got some. I can't keep some in. But you know what? I have realized, and you know, don't send me the hate mail. I'm just telling it like it is. I have come to the realization that gentlemen love to hang around the ones that got a lot of issues, though. They'll stick with those.
Wait, you said you like them crazy?
I like them crazy, though. They got a little crazy.
Oh, Lord.
Got a little, like, you know, that little.
Oh, Lord.
Is that an attraction? That's like.
Why do you like that?
Crazy. I got a nerve you gonna go to bat for me.
What is crazy? They crazy. Blow your phone up.
Like left eye and TLC. Because
you said you don't like nobody crazy. To blow your phone up. So.
Nah, not like that. I like when, like, let's say we're at the restaurant, right? We sit down. Somebody tripping out, like the waiter's tripping out. I'm not type of person. I can get angry quick. You know what I mean? I'll fight the drop of a dime. So I like to try to stay reserved.
Okay.
I can't have a girl that's gonna stay reserved for me. I'm gonna be like, hey, babe, you know, I'm about to say something to him. You know what I mean? So I'm about to walk away for a second. And then before I come back, that mug is like, oh, I'm so sorry. Cause she handled that. She got that little side to her where she like, listen, now, I may be whatever, but don't try me.
Okay, you know I get that.
Right. I don't want to walk out and she's crying because the waiter said something to her.
That sounds reasonable. That sounds like a woman who will take up for me. See, we thought you was talking about the one that, you know, you go to the bathroom. She done clipped your condoms because she feels some type of way. Then she be like, I'm pregnant. But then she was really not pregnant.
If you're having sex before marriage, you play that gamble. You know what I mean? No.
We're talking about the ones that do crazy stuff. You know who you are. Anywho. So I just wanted to ask that because I feel like there are a lot of men who will work with women who pose a lot of issues. But when you're a woman who is about your business and you really don't have time for a lot of BS, dudes will give you their whole butt to kiss. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's how I feel. Do you understand? Y'all understand that? Like,
so why is that? You know why? I'm not asking you, Erica. I'm asking because he said he agreed. Do you know why that is? Like, what is that? What does that come from?
Answer the first part of it with the like the craziness part. Like, I evaluate your family first. Mm-hmm. If you can hold it together all the way in the paint, but if I see some loose ends in your family, I may ghost you. I may kind of like peel back a little bit.
No, that's not fair. We can't control what kind of family members we have.
Your bloodline is like. I need to know what your bloodline is
it's
like.
It's an indicator. It's definitely an indicator.
That's true. Indicator. But if that person is holding it together, that means that person has been through the fire.
Alexis, you know
can't tell that off the first couple of meetings, though.
You can't tell that. Well, I guess. Okay. I mean, just, I don't want that to be like the end all, the be all for some lucky young lady out there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about multiple occasions. I'm talking about like, you know, family cookout, and then y'all go to like a, you know, vacation to the beach, or, and everything is all jacked up. There's always a whole bunch of arguments, or how she treat her mother, or how she treat her father. You know what I mean? She and she treat me a certain way because she wants my attention. Your parents already have your attention, and you're going to be disrespectful to them, or you don't care about your family. And I'm going to look at you a certain way because I have a daughter. So I know that that could possibly, if we have a daughter together, you may treat my daughter a certain type of way because she's not a part of your family. Or now she is a part. Before then, you were just looking at me, trying to grab me. But the other question, the answer to the other question about, I think with the guys, given all the baggage, right? That's why I have to evaluate now, because I have a lot of baggage that I'm dealing with. I'm only a year out being sober. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some insecurities that I still deal with, that I work on. You know what I mean? Like, there's one thing that I don't want to feel like, if I get a woman in my life, that she's going to be the one to change all these bad habits. If I'm thinking that's going to be the case, it would never happen. Like, for one, I'm not the cleanest person in the world. And a lot of times I get a girlfriend, I'm like, okay, well, let me clean up before she come over here. Or let me clean up a couple of days just in case she come by. But when she don't come by, I'm back to the regular lifestyle of being junkie. I got to change that first before I bring in that baggage into our life. I don't want to come in, I'm a junkie dude, because I only can hold it for so long. Your finances, me balling out of control on these bad girls. And let's not say bad girls, just say girls in general. The girls I dated. I'm using all my finances with them, and then I'm broke at the end because I don't have it. I'm portraying a lifestyle. So that's another baggage. I can't save money. Now, then she get into a relationship because I'm good with my talk game, mentally, everything else is working fine. But these other outside factors that you can't see, the little skeleton in the closet. I want my closet door to be wide open, and I'm in there sweeping, working on my closet. You know, I'm working on my skeletons. Not you come in and try to help me on that. I don't need your help. I should have helped before then.
Okay, so so clearly you do want companionship.
Yes.
But would you say that you're in the gray area? You want companionship, but you may not necessarily be 1,000%.
Sounds like he's working on self.
What cost do I want a relationship? You know what I mean? That's going to cost me stuff. You know, people get into relationships thinking, without thinking about the cost. It's going to cost me time. It's going to cost me some of my patience. It's going to cost me some of my finances. And right now I'm starting a journey that I don't even know myself at this point. I don't even know what I like. I'm saying I like a bad girl now, and she got to be all this and that. And then later on, I'm like, you know what? That's not even important. Her mind is way more beautiful than her body. And then I'm looking at the picture differently. If I continue to have the same joke mind frame up until I got sober, then I'm going to keep meeting the same chicks and having the same issues. So what is my cost now? And I don't feel like I'm ready to be in no serious relationship. Now I may go on Tinder, you know, look around.
Okay, here we go. Here we go.
What cost?
So you're open to dating, but...
I'm open to conversation.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's going to take a while before we meet up and go places with the pandemic and everything going around. I think we have to keep important. We got to protect ourselves. I don't care what you got going on out there. You know what I mean? With y'all walking out with y'all mask on or going to parties and stuff, that's on you. But me and my household is being protected when we go out and do things. So I move differently now at this point. I'm looking for conversation. I do hang out with other people, but I know their environment. To a little bit, like meeting somebody at Tinder, there's so much stuff I got to figure out what's going on in your life and what do you want. And I'm not ready to figure out what you want in life. I'm trying to figure out what I want in life. So I use Tinder as a mechanism of just communicating and like, hold on, you text me way too much. I liked your picture, and now we're on a full. I'm not your pen pal.
Joe would take you down one road and hit you with the Yui in the neck. You don't know what. You're like, dang,
These women, they see you on Tinder, they probably thinking like, oh, he wanted, you know, this is what he's up here for.
Let me read my profile.
Come on, what you asking for? And then you might need to go ahead and show us the picture you got up there too. Because if you got a picture up there showing your muscles, we got
I leave that out. I want them to see all my thickness.
Maybe it's something. Why he pulling that up? It's something that Job said that I grasped onto, like in terms of self-reflection. What do you think, everyone, what do you think that your past exes would say about you? And just being transparent, the good and the bad.
Dang.
I don't want to go first.
But you going, because you start talking in the pink poo first, so you go ahead.
Excuse me, sorry, my connection is breaking up.
Oh, wow. That's not how you do it, Alexis. What you do is this.
Okay. Gotcha. The mannequin challenge. Gotcha.
Nobody?
I'll answer it. My own question. They would say I'm very generous, I know. But I feel like I'm almost to a fault. Like, can be taken advantage of really easily, I guess.
Were you holding the sleeve, maybe? So that could be taxing for an individual, because I'm somewhat of the same way. And it's like, I will give you my all, and I can't really figure out what's going on inside your head, so I'm gonna always try to fix it to make you happy, regardless of how happy I am. And then when you leave, I'm stuck with the bad. Like, should I change how much I care? You know what I mean? Or should I adjust? But that's the stuff that we think. And then we start changing our mentality of how we look at relationships.
And then I know everything is a red flag. It's probably hard, but I would say, I don't think you should change who you are for anyone. And eventually somebody will love you for who you are. You know, the good and the bad. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but you got to be willing to work on yourself.
Well, right. I was going to say, not only will you eventually find someone that, you know, will love you for who you are, but you'll be able to present it in a way that works for both you and that person.
Right.
Like where you're saying, like, you'll be working on yourself. Not because, like, with how you're wearing your heart on your sleeve, it may be something that you might need to adjust within that just to... I don't know, if you kind of see, like, patterns happening, just kind of, you know, correct that.
Well, Kevin could be comfortable in it. Kevin can be like, I like being this person, and it doesn't bother him. I think the other issue that I have to learn if I'm going to date is letting go of what's not good for me. You know what I mean? If having my heart on my sleeve ain't good enough for you, then I shouldn't have to try to hold and force you to stay. Then you should just go, and I should learn how to just simply let it go. But it's hard for me to let stuff go because I love so hard.
No, I've learned to get the hell out the door. Okay? I am the one who rolls out.
So, Joe, would you say you would stay with the person, and even if you're not happy, you'll have to wait for them to leave, or eventually?
Oh, absolutely. That's my number one goal. That's my number one thing I do. I will stay in any relationship regardless if I'm miserable, especially with my daughter's mother. I stayed in that relationship, and I knew we wasn't happy. You know, it got to a point where we was arguing and fighting all the time, and I flipped out. One thing that every relationship that I've been in, they go say, Joe, crazy. He has a button that he will flip out if you push him to that point.
Right.
You know, and that's not good.
Yeah. You don't want to get to that. I don't know how that is. You don't want to get
that. That leads me to another question. What do you think all your exes would agree about you? If they all sat in the room, what do you think they all would say? Because Joe just said they all would say he crazy.
they would say crazy with a laugh. You know what I mean? Like that boy crazy. But they always say, I'm always trying to better myself. Like he always would try to better himself. And I'm very loving. Yeah. You know what I mean? When it comes to infatuation, you know what I mean? It's just, you my world, and I don't see nobody else.
All right, so see, you don't hear them mm-hmm. words no more, honey.
That's good. And they'll agree that undisputably that right. all of them would be able to say that. See, that's good.
I think that's beautiful. I think what my exes would say was, and this is why I had to learn how to roll out or learn how to. It's kind of weird how the emotions work, but they would say, "Well, you like a wife, you know, like I ain't even ready for all that." So I had to like learn how to just kind of exist. But I feel like if you try not to be yourself, it's no point in even being there. But it's because of what I'm raised around, what right. I was raised with, my mother being a wife. So my example of a woman is somebody who's supportive, who's there, who's attentive, who's all of these amazing things. But you literally cannot do that because you're going right. to get hurt every single time. So was that
mainly the problem for all of your exes? Is that you were wife material and they weren't ready? Well,
I think that was a really big one, because I'm very honest. I like to have the hard conversations. Like, okay, let's sit down and talk. I'm really not liking this. Some people can't do that. Some people don't even want to have a hard conversation. It's almost like they want to just skip through.
Yes.
They just want to skip through and act like it didn't exist.
That's what I was talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, you just want to skip through and not have these conversations?
Yeah.
But then you're living in a false world.
Exactly.
You know, you're living in a world that doesn't even make any sense. And then also, some people they lack depth. That is what I absolutely
a lot of people lack depth.
Hate that. Like, you're literally living on this thin-ass layer of crust, but we're not breaking through to get to the meat and potatoes of who you are, because half the time people don't even know who they are. So it's those hardliners. And then if you've never cracked those layers before and you have somebody like me that's like, look, okay, so I asked you this question, you couldn't give me this answer, what's that about? They don't want to talk about that.
I mean, I feel like we would never truly know who we are. Right. I don't think, I mean, it's just too much life left for us to figure it out. But I always ask the question, what are we? Like, I have to know what are we so I can know that I can lay that to rest and find out who I am. But if you can't tell me what are we, it's like, I have homeboys because I'm not built like my homeboys. You know
Come
what I mean?
Come they on,
can,
tell us something.
They can go through, you know, chick, you know what I mean, move to the other one. They'd be like, man, you need to grow some, man. Like, you worry about that. Move on to the next one. Like, why would you ask her, what are you? She just whatever and move on. You know, happy.
We're missing like, this one. You know how much she love a title. She missing this one right here.
But I don't know. I don't know.
Kay. I feel like this is Erica.
This is me.
This is
Brie
like,
will be like,
you know, like is, whatever. Yeah. Brie will be like, But Erica is like on the inside.
What are
she's
we?
Like, amen. Yes, say it again. What are we?
Because people be playing games. Here's my thing. You made me go there. Anywho, so I feel like these brothers, they rather lose in front of your face. Like, they in their mind, they're winning by treating you a certain way. Ideally, in their mind, they're like, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to be in a relationship. You know, oh, I ain't trying to do this. I ain't trying to do that. You know, just trying to keep this cool persona. Negro, we are 35 and up. You have lived a certain amount of life to where I feel you should know something about yourself, right? But they are living in these Instagram worlds. They're living in these worlds where they're still living at 22 and haven't turned the corner in their mid-30s or upper 30s to understand what it is they really need in their life or really want in their life. And I'm not going to be the woman to make you realize that. I will be the one to tap into it a little bit for you. But if you don't know that, I gotta go. Because they make you feel stupid or try to make you feel stupid and try to make you look dumb. When you're like, okay, so what are we doing? Like, you want all my time, you want all my energy, but then you don't want no relationship. And come on now, you probably want some sex too, but I'm gonna be looking at you crazy. Because I do have a special gift where if I do decide to go there, I still may not really want to rock with you long term. So, you know, it's like, why are you wasting my time?
Yeah, don't waste my time. On? Time is too valuable.
Precious. But these dudes, they sitting up here playing this game. But I also have to realize too, at the same time, Job and Kevin, y'all can decide at any time when you just want to be ready for something. Men, they have this thing where you could be 40 and decide you're ready. Mm-hmm. And at that time, there's going to be some woman, nine times out of 10, there'll be some woman in that batch that is of good quality that you could just keep going and live a good life. On the flip.
Talking out of resentment, though?
No, I'm dead serious. I have seen gentlemen, you know, people who are friends with, you know, my older people, you know, my parents. But you know, you see people, and whenever they're ready to settle down, they're able to settle down. I'm not going to say the woman is perfect, but when a man is ready to settle down,
that one that's
has the ability to choose something mm-hmm. reasonable. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, I have not seen that happen so sweet. A woman just up and decide, okay, I want to settle down now. Now, you might have some options, but good God Almighty.
Why do you feel that?
Because I agree with that. It's the reality.
It is
the reality. The options are so jacked up. You can find somebody who looks absolutely amazing, has a great job, but the biggest kicker is the mental.
Yeah, that should always be the biggest thing in any relationship.
But you know, but see, it takes time to get to know that. You know what I'm saying? You finally get to that mental, and it's like, yo, what is this? And you're trying to have these reasonable conversations.
And they when you talk to a guy first off jump shoot, right? You can't hear some mental things going on. When I talk to a girl one time, I can be like,
sometimes you can hear.
I have some questions.
Sometimes
will reveal themselves. They always reveal themselves. Eventually, and then it's up to you to decide how far you can go.
But Job, seriously, you can admire somebody for a long time, and you finally get the opportunity to tap into it. And at first, you're like, okay, but you almost have to have multiple conversations sometimes to start to connect some dots. Like, you know what, if this person is saying, well, women usually do this and women usually do that, and you're like, wait, I don't think it's the women, baby.
Okay, so I will put it like this then.
I mean, but you can always kind of weed those conversations out. I don't think it's hard to get to know a person a couple of conversations. I think the problem comes in is the stuff that you kind of like, oh, I'm gonna let that go. Or, you know,
it's how much of those initial conversations did you just turn a blind eye to?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is turn a blind eye and just be like, oh, well, you know.
It don't even have to be stuff funny, that you say. It can be nonverbal communication that you just turn a blind eye to. Like,
well, here we go. Here's the good example, right? Especially if you're spiritual. There's something inside of you that tells you, right? If you don't believe that, then you mm-hmm. then what you put last podcast will be irrelevant, because you put this clip of the guy saying mm-hmm. he was at his wedding, he slipped out and said, my next wedding.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. That's inside. Yes. There was no conversation that he had. That was inside. He knew. And what did he decide to do?
And that thing came right on out.
And then the kids is not his.
Yes.
That wasn't a lot of it's the intuition that you need to go with, right. but you're scared to take that gamble. But saying like, I may lose this great catch because he had XYZ. I'm okay to take that loss.
You're right.
Or that gamble.
That's right, Job. I'm with you 1,000%. Because, and so for our listeners, because they're going to be like, the last podcast, who said that? So when we went Facebook Live, on September was 11th, Friday, September 11th, we talked about the couple from Black Love, and it was that real wild couple. I think they
in their 50s.
They off mm-hmm. the chain, honey. I can't remember their names. I can pull it up in a minute.
Nutty Buddy 1 and 2.
I had to clench my pearls when I heard that. I said, go so back.
It's the woman who tattooed the gentleman's name on her derriere.
Nutty Buddy number one and Nutty Buddy number two.
But he was married initially to this woman because he got her pregnant, and he knew deep down inside he didn't want to be with her, but he did it for the kids. But he knew it wasn't right, so he was already planning for another wife while with his wife. It was crazy. Then come to find out, he wasn't even the father of the twins. So if he had listened to himself even in that moment where it was really like, oh my gosh, I'm going to, you know, not abandon these children, but he just decided to marry her for the children and come to find out they were here. So for me, you do need to have the discernment of knowing what's up, right? And when you have that discernment, and I actually had a conversation with a friend about this recently, and it was a very tough conversation to have because I've had to have this conversation with myself where you say, what are the pros and cons of me staying in this?
Exactly.
And you're like, you know what? I choose me because I don't have, what am I going to take away from this? What am I missing? What exactly am I going to miss? What exactly am I losing?
Nothing.
By leaving? And it's absolutely nothing because that person didn't give you enough to even hold on to, you know? So when a woman says, well, I bring this to the table, and a man says, I bring this to the table, for me, what you're bringing to the table has to be substantial. And it's not necessarily that you drive a banging car or that you, you know, you have this high paying job, because you can be absolutely not for me, you know? All in that, you could be, that is nice that you have a nice job. That's nice that you have all these degrees, but what exactly are you as a booty butt naked person bringing to the table? Okay. that's what I need to know.
I guess what, like, I without look all for that, too,
what you bringing to the table?
And what I look for too is, what are you doing outside of your 9 to 5?
Come on, Joe.
Like, it's your passion is what you should be focused on. And then,
boy, we couldn't be sitting beside each other. You'd be done flew across the counter. I'm like, come on, don't push this.
Yeah, so it was like, once I started focus on the YouTube and focus on my philosophies, mm-hmm, and my principle in church and how I want to present my life and how I want to be a service to other people, other alcoholics, other people that's feeling depressed and suicide. All that extra stuff on the side about what you're doing and how you look and how you, everything is made up, because you're only working for a thing. Mm-hmm. I work to get a house. I work to get a car.
You're working for a means to an end.
Exactly. So no matter what you get, it's not going to satisfy your soul.
Come on.
No, it's not. It's
exactly.
Not.
So when I'm looking in a relationship, I'm like, all right, cool. You work here. Okay. That's, you do this. Okay. And what do you do outside of that?
Come on.
Watch movies.
That's one of my pet peeves.
I mean, it's like hiking. I get it, but
you got Alexis even saying hallelujah. Go ahead.
Right. Because especially living up here
in Maryland,
people are always like, okay, this is what I do. What do you do? So like, people look at me crazy because I do, because like, majority of people up here look work in the government. So it's like, well, why do you care what I do? This is not who I am. And I don't care what you do, because that's not who you are. Telling me that you work for this company, you do this, you do that, that means nothing to me. You could lose that job tomorrow. Then who are you without all of those things? Don't hold on to that as a security blanket, and you're holding on to that as a representation of yourself, because that's not who you are. Yeah, that really... That was a hot button for
you. Were
me.
Touched. You were right. Very touched by that.
It drives
you,
me.
You kind of, your little toes went.
It drives heard that. Me nuts. Like, I need to know who you are outside of that. You know, and like, when you were saying how you were saying, like, you'll never truly know who you are, that hurt my feelings, because I am so big on trying to figure out who I am and, you know, what is my purpose on this world, all of these things. So for you to say, like, you'll never truly know, it hurt, but at the same time, it made perfect sense, because as you're growing, you're becoming another person.
Right. It's not
so
constant.
You're never really
it's
know.
Always changing.
Right. You're so I'm like, damn. But okay, so, all right.
It's different plateaus. I think it's different plateaus, because, you know, like, who you were, like, if at 30, you know, who you are at 30 is not necessarily entirely who you are at 35. Like, you still got a little bit of 30, you still got a little tiny bit of 25, a minuscule amount from 20.
Yeah, you still but got a little 20
continuously
there.
To change, because you have an acquired taste over and over again. Like, you know what? I really enjoyed that mind-blowing conversation. And at 25, you maybe didn't need it. But I'm going to tell you what I do miss, and we can wrap up. What I do miss is I miss those conversations that could go into 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm just floating in the bed like, oh my gosh.
Well, wait a minute. You don't have those?
No. Other than talking to you, Kevin, but we're friends, Kev. Damn.
I was about to say, like, Kevin, you don't have those things?
Kevin like, oh, word? I be on the phone now.
Right. You telling me that I don't make a difference?
But Kevin, you know, we not, you know, okay? you know, but I'm saying.
Y'all not romantical.
Thank you. Kevin up here like, oh, my conversations ain't good enough.
Oh, I don't count.
But I just
won't call you no more.
I mean, because Johnny's, I don't know how it is when you're married after having this, having, like, I want to be courted and I want to, I just want to go through. People call it like the, like a lot of men in our age group, they say it ain't a fair, you want a fairy tale. No, I want to be able to, you say, let's go to the park. And we sit down, we sit on that park bench and we just talk crazy. Like we just, we can talk about dreams, but we just talk absolutely nonsense to each other. And then let's say we go to church together. Even if we leave in church and you a good Christian man, but you little whisper in my ear, when I get you back to the house, honey, please, I will be out my little heels and everything. So having, to me, I think Nick is like a really good guy. So what does that translate to in marriage? Like, because I want to float. Didn't you float when you dated a little
bit? Yes. Okay. So I will say, like, when we were dating before we had kids, you know, I feel like the courting was amazing. You know, we had great time. And I feel like you do need that early on in the relationship because now we are parents of two. And even though we still court and we still... And I know my husband loves me, it's different. You know, it's a different phase. A and I feel like that you have to have those good things at the beginning because then when you are in a phase where it's not all about you anymore, you know, eventually back to that phase, like it's in that person, like we know who we are. And right now we both agree it's about our kids. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So I feel like when you do meet someone, you should have those things. Like I still have butterflies. I still get excited.
So you
know?
Still have butterflies?
Yes, I do. And it may not be as often as before when it was just us two, but all those seeds were planted prior.
Right. They see.
So now, you know, if we're in a different season, I know that, okay, we're going to work through this and we're going to get back to what we need to get back with, you know, before this situation or whatever occur.
That's
so
all I wanted to know.
I think it's just different phases and different phases in a relationship where you feel different things and different things happen. But I feel like if you have that strong communication, if you have those things in the beginning, you build that, you know, that communication, you build that trust, you build that everything you need in the beginning. Then when the difficult things happen, you know,
you can persevere.
Yes. You will survive. So.
To me, it sounds like you're looking for like a strong foundation for a friendship to grow and build with that. That's what it sounds like to me. Like this sounds like us, like a true blue friend type stuff. Right. That you jump on, you know, later on that night.
You know,
but it just sounds like you're really want somebody to take the time to get to know
get to know
and
me
just to really have a conversation and really
what do you want to get to know about them though? And I would say, what are the questions that you're asking is the issue. Like I would ask a person, are you a dreamer? And they was like, I don't really have a lot of ideas. I kind of just like go off. No. No. Okay. Well, if they say I am a dreamer, I am a thinker, I'm like, so what do you do on it? I had this idea for 20 years. I don't care how much you're making at your job. Your job is going to be your number one focus because you're not a dreamer. If you are a dreamer, I absolutely know that you're accustomed to failing. And if you understand
You might have stroked on something with Alexis right there. Here we go.
Right.
So I think on like our first podcast, I don't know, the podcast we did with like Sean and Chris.
Okay.
When I was saying I need somebody who has like accomplished something.
Right.
And it's because if you've accomplished something along that way, you have failed.
Okay.
And you have not taken that failure to heart and you kept on going to get to your goal. Because if you haven't accomplished anything or if you haven't had a dream, then that lets me know. Then if we in the thick of things, you're not going to know what to do. You're not going to be able to hang on because you haven't failed before. And you don't know when somebody tells you no, you don't know how to work around that no to get what you want. Oh, my God. That really
touched my soul. I'm kind of stuck right now because I feel sorry for y'all dating people. If that's a question you have to ask, are you a dreamer? Do people not dream?
Some people don't dream.
It's generational, Johnny. It's a little bit different.
But like, people are scared. Like, for us to even have a podcast, a million people have a podcast, right? A lot of people, Job has a brain. But a lot of people, they are probably still stuck on step one, which is, I want to have a podcast, but I'm scared to have a podcast. I don't know what to do, but I'm scared. I'm terrified. But for me, I can appreciate somebody who jumps out there and just tries to do it. There are a lot of people who don't have that leap of faith mentality. And then also, you know, you can have a leap of faith, but you need to also be able to translate that to the people like us having a podcast. Like, look, y'all, trust me, we got this. We're going to do this. And if we were a group of friends that were like killing each other, like, no, I don't even think we can do it. We would have never made it. We would have never persevered. So you have to have people who are willing to take a leap, invest, and live your life, which is a part of life, is to fail. And sometimes as soon as you fail, you end up winning in the same breath, because things happen in certain time, and then you hit hot and you're doing well, you know. You never know what God has for you.
Yeah, you're right.
But I'm pretty sure we're going to end up still talking after this anyhow.
Yes, because that is something you got to grow into, listeners. Okay, I wasn't always this way. You got to grow into not being fearful.
Right? It got to be, it's based upon you. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think we all have to ask this question, but that's part of my development.
Yeah.
This is who I am. So if I don't ask you that question about my life, then why would I ask you to be invited in my life? You know what I mean? And like, I mean, I like to be straight up honest. So look, on my Tinder, right?
Okay.
Oh, yeah, we forgot about that.
Let's talk about the Tinder. So I said, I love being a dad to my little princess. I won't often daydream about you, but rather of her. It's important that I stay focused on my daughter, on being my daughter's best friend. So if you don't understand that concept of a guy being more focused on his work, not up all night and missing his daughter from time to time, then don't even bother messaging me. Always important. Or always most importantly, my daughter has a mother that loves her just as me. So I'm giving you straight, don't even swipe right if you think I'm going to be texting you or conversating you all the time. I'm letting you know up front, I just have a lot of stuff going on about me. Finally, out of 35 years, it's about me. And whatever I find, whatever God leads to me, it's because I'm focusing on what God has put in my life as my gift. I'm moving towards that. You know what I mean? If I grab somebody that's not like me, then I'm going to move another way that they want. Solomon was one of the wisest men in the Bible. He fell he went down because he had so many females that he talked to that changed his mindset, his philosophy. He ended up start worshiping other gods. Now, this is the wisest man in the Bible that knows. He stated, with much wisdom comes sorrow. But he still chose other women to dictate his mind and the way he thinks. So as a person, I feel like I'm becoming wiser by the day, because I'm searching after God, I'm seeking after God. Then there's going to be certain situations that I got to be able to be like, no, let me ask about you, because it's very important. Now, if you just love your job, your 9-to-5, you like taking trips, then you may not need to ask that question, because you got it. You just want to go and you may be perfect. But in my life, I can't take that gamble. I'm not willing to take that gamble.
Okay. Well, you know what? Now y'all make sure y'all send us an email at blackbougieprod@gmail.com. You got questions for Joe, because we're going to try our best to have him on Facebook Live on Friday. Hopefully he's available for these questions. I feel like we might have a lot of feedback about this episode.
Oh, this is going to be a hot one.
Hopefully, I don't get no hate mail. Anywho, but you have been listening to Black Bougie Bras. Now, be sure to, now when we go Facebook Live, you have to be a member of the Facebook community. Okay? So you follow us on Black Bougie Bras. We're also on Instagram and YouTube, okay? Where you're probably going to see a whole bunch of clips from this episode, okay? I think one of the things we've been encountering is people that did not know we were actual podcasts. They think we are a Facebook podcast. No. We are definitely, you are now listening to us on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Chaser. Thank you to all of our listeners around the world. Okay. But if you have any questions, be sure to follow us on Black Bougie Bras, and we will answer your questions. And if you're on Facebook Live with us, you can ask us whatever you like. I'm sure Joe will be able to answer any questions that he has. And no, he is not showing his baddie. Okay.
I make sure I wear a white beater so you can see all the sickness.
Oh Lord, please no.
I had him burnt naked up on that podcast. We are not. But But be sure to follow us and subscribe. Like, let us know what you think. Comment. We will definitely reply back. So thank you, Brian and Mr. Job and Mr. Kev for being here today. But have a great weekend. You've been listening to Black Bush Brian's Future Care Podcast. Holla at you, girl.
Sweet and bored.